Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Stella Blue Coffee is more than just great coffee. It's coffee with a purpose. Introducing We Brew to Rescue, a nationwide campaign using proceeds from our new ready-to-drink cans to help fund 1,000 pet adoptions this year. Every can you crack open helps a real pet find a real home. Simple as that. Made with 100% Colombian coffee, each 11-ounce can delivers smooth, drinkable energy with a boost of protein. Available in espresso cafe mocha and espresso sweet cream. Built for mornings, long days, and everything in between. Drink Stella Blue, fuel your day, and help save a pet's life. You can follow our progress in real time throughout the campaign by watching the adoption tracker on our site. Grab yours now at StellaBlueCoffee.com. Amazon and select retailers nationwide.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
What killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age!
You want to come and join with you?
I'm going to make you famous, Lizzie.
It's not Al anymore. It's Dunk!
Dunkachino?
Don't mind if I do!
Oh, the Joker, baby!
Welcome to Lights, Camera, Barstool, episode 107. 107. I feel like we've been on 105 or 106 for like 10 episodes straight. I don't know if I'm going crazy on that.
No, it does feel that way.
Yeah, just a little bit. We have a few news items to get to, but also we're going to do a draft of I Think You Should Leave skits. Because season 3 is going to be dropping, what, the 30th?
It's next week. I think it's like Tuesday, though.
Yeah.
It's like Tuesday or Wednesday.
Okay, so the 31st is Wednesday, so it has to be Tuesday.
I hope it's Tuesday, because I typically stay at home and work from home on Wednesdays.
Yeah.
So I definitely will just be ripping that.
Yeah, exactly. And plus, actually, our Tuesdays are usually kind of busy for the most part.
Yeah, Tuesdays are miserable.
Yeah.
Miserable.
That's that, for those of you that don't know, that's Gooch working on The Dozen and then also having to produce a full episode of The Bracket with us.
And fucking... our good old double play.
And double play. Almost forgot about that. What did I keep calling him when Clemmer came on? I was like, it's like double team. I kept calling it double team because I wanted him to watch double team. That garbage Disney Plus movie. But before we get into anything, we could talk about our good friends over at Game Time.
We're sponsored?
We every now and then we get one or two on these ones.
It's a good one, too.
Yeah.
I love Game Time.
Me, too. I'm obsessed with Game Time. I actually just used them to buy tickets to the Chargers-Jets game. They're playing in November, like early November, and I bought a whole bunch of tickets for me and my friends. Didn't use a code, didn't like ask them for tickets or anything. I just bought them because they had seats that were like right in front of the goal line, like right, like they're legit right on right there, and or not next to the goal line. It's like kind of like, you know, like dead center right here. It's like a little bit off to the side in the front row, and they were like I think 180 a pop.
Oh, that's like nothing.
Obscenely cheap for Meadowlands tickets. So I got a whole bunch of those.
Dude, that's cheap for like Paul Brown
in
Cincinnati. Like that's like NFL tickets are fucking expensive.
I know. And the fees were easy. Everything was like so simple. And plus, well, this is the getting even before the ad. Game Time is the exclusive ticketing partner of Barstool Sports, created by fans for fans. It's a ticketing app that makes it easier than ever to score last minute tickets to earn deals to tickets to sports, concerts, and shows. And they guarantee the lowest price as the light just blasts off into our fizz. We have a whole ton of stuff coming up this summer. Taylor Swift tickets, I feel like, has been the most dominating everything. Like everywhere you go, there's like some sort of meme about someone, you know, either spending too much on tickets on Taylor Swift or getting ripped off on tickets for Taylor Swift. And they're spending obscene amounts.
You can't go to a Taylor Swift concert anymore.
It's tough. It's a tough scene. Obviously, festival season coming up too. Drake, 21 Savage, Luke Bryan, Chance the Rapper, Mets, Yankees tickets. We always talk about using them to get Yankees tickets all the time.
Yeah, I'm going to Yankees game tomorrow night.
We're not playing the Reds, right?
No, but they're playing. I don't know who they're playing, but my group of friends are like, yeah, tickets are like $7.
Yeah.
So
may as well. There's something like I love a good day game at what time? Wait, is it a day game or is it a night game?
Night game.
I was just because I love day games. Like when you go there and it's just like you have the full game. The game's going to end not like at 11 p.m. or 12 p.m. or whatever. Like you can get to go to the game. You get drunk, whatever. You get to go home and you still have a little bit of your night left.
Oh, yeah.
Big fan. Massive fan. And that's all possible with the Game Time app. The biggest last-minute ticket price drops can be found in the seats that you thought you could never buy. Like I mentioned with those tickets to the Jets game, I never thought I would be able to buy that for anywhere close to that price. The purchase process takes less than 2 taps in 10 seconds, and when you buy your tickets, they're delivered directly to your phone, no printer needed. The app also allows you to easily share tickets with friends via text so that you can get the game to the game seamlessly. Skip the hassle and enjoy the moment. We got the Darts Day coming up soon.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that.
You going to that?
Yeah, baby.
I made myself a shirt for it. Did I show it to you?
I think so. It's the Michael Van Gerwen shirt,
it's
right?
The Michael Van Gerwen one. Did you see the back?
No.
Oh, I have to show you the back.
Was it like...
Don't spoil. I want people to see this live. But it is... I think it's my favorite one. What did I make it through?
Dude, Darts Day last year was just such a confluence, like... of like, I don't even know, chaos.
Absolute chaos. We're just running through MSG chanting, "Let's go darts." And like, you wouldn't believe how quickly that catches on. This is the back of it.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
So we're going to save that for Darts Day. That was a big issue with Darts Day last year, is this is pre-game time. In all the other apps, it's so hard to share tickets, especially people that don't have it or whatever. Game Time makes that whole process just so much easier. It's we're big fans of Game Time over here.
Yeah, we made that big dumb Canadian check us all in.
Yeah, we had one person sitting there checking in like 60 people. Download the Game Time app or go to the website, enter your email, and redeem code LCB for $20 off your first purchase. Terms do apply. A whole bunch of stuff. I'm so excited for Darts Day.
How far away is that?
It's this weekend, next weekend.
All right, that's what
I thought. June 3rd, I think it is. And I think the full list right now is like way more than last time. There's a significant amount of people.
Dude, I need to get a costume together. I felt I was like, had a wild shirt on last year. I still felt massively underdressed for like the other groups of people that were there. They were like thing one and thing two. Like there were so many ridiculous costumes.
It's so fun. I think the last time I didn't have time to buy a costume, so I made one. I just drew onto my shirt. A white shirt, Van Gerwen makes me horny. And that's it. And then people love it. Like, they get obsessed with it at Darts.
Oh, Michael Van Gerwen.
Dude, it's so fun.
So fun. If you ever have the chance, if you're listening, if you have the chance to go to a Darts event, go do it. It's so fun.
Even if, like, you're not a fan of Darts, like, and you don't, maybe you don't even know how it works, like, it's a fucking blast.
Dude, I barely know how to play.
Yeah.
Barely.
I think literally anyone could enjoy it. Although I remember Greer asked, he's like, "Hey, does your girlfriend want to go?" I'm like, "No fucking way. She won't get this.
Not allowed."
I don't even know if it'd be like not allowed. I'd be like, people won't get this.
Darts is a country club sport.
Yeah, no exactly. Women allowed. Yeah. No women allowed in the club of darts. First news thing, we got a new Barbie trailer. The trailer, I think that up till now, we didn't have like a total grasp of what was going to happen in this movie. It was just sort of like a pastiche of like different shit that it like scenes without context, from the other trailers. And now it's just like, hey, this is what's going to happen. Barbie's going out into the real world. And the Hasbro guys, which is Will Ferrell, who I guess is reprising the role from Lego movie, right?
But Hasbro doesn't own Lego, right?
I don't know how that works.
I don't think they do. I think Hasbro has their own Lego knockoff. Lego, I think, is just Lego. It is the same exact. It's what was his name, Mr. Business or something,
some shit like that. Yeah, in Lego Movie.
But it is the same. It looks like the same exact character.
Yeah, he's a big CEO of the toy company in this like sort of semi-real, semi-fake world. So yeah, Barbie's gonna go out into the real world. Hasbro's gonna try and stop her, or I guess Hasbro, the bad guys, they wouldn't allow that, or would they allow that?
Actually, from what I've heard, I think Hasbro is very much in on being like the bad guy. Not like full on like evil, but like they're willing to be like the butt of the joke.
Hasbro will be the good guys, but at the end of the day, yes. I think they don't mind being the preliminary villains. But yeah, the trailer was interesting. Got a glimpse of like them going from the Barbie world to the real world, and just sort of like the process behind that. Little glimpses of the other characters we haven't seen yet. They also announced the soundtrack yesterday.
Yeah,
Dua Lipa, Tame Impala. Nicki Minaj, they just put Ryan Gosling on there, so I guess we're getting a good number from Ryan Gosling.
I think his song is literally just called I'm Ken.
I'm Ken.
I think that's what they said the song title is.
I'm always nervous how to pronounce this. Haim, right?
Yeah, the girls. Yeah.
Haim?
Yeah.
I don't know. DJ Bean is furious right now. He's a big Haim guy.
Is he really?
Yeah.
That's questionable.
Dominic Fike, I do not know who that is.
Oh, he's good. Okay. You would recognize one of his songs.
Gotcha. Ice Spice. I don't get Ice Spice. I've talked to you about this before. I just don't get it.
I get it. I get it, but like, it does feel like they're trying to capitalize on like her virality right now. But Nicki Minaj makes 100%.
Yeah.
I mean, her fans are literally the Barbs.
Exactly.
Like, yeah. That was a no-brainer. Ice Spice, I think they're just like, yeah, she's hot in the streets right now.
She kind of looks like a doll. She looks like a kid. You know what I mean? Like, I don't understand.
I mean, she looks like I'm not going to do it. There's already another podcast out there that got trouble for Ice Spice comments. I'm not
really?
Gonna...
Who got in trouble for that?
Not Cumtown. Adam Friedland show.
Adam Friedland got in trouble? Oh, I didn't want to know what he said. Jesus Christ. Lizzo on it, too. Lizzo also a great fit for this type of movie.
Yeah, I saw people like bitching, oh, Lizzo's on the soundtrack. It's like, dude, you can have your opinions about Lizzo as like a person.
Or actor, whatever. Like,
but her music makes banging. Like, her music like perfectly aligns with this shit.
Yeah. It's perfect. I watched her documentary the other day. I forget what it was on.
Amazon, right?
Amazon then, yeah. Because like my girlfriend really likes Lizzo. She's like, let's watch it. I was like, sure. It was like interesting seeing some of the behind the scenes stuff. But one comment stuck with me where she was like, yeah, all the people, they never thought a girl, like a big girl playing the flute could make it. I was like, who was thinking about that at all? Who was thinking about a large woman playing the flute? I don't think that ever crossed anyone's minds ever. As a thing, we're like, oh, music's going in a certain direction, but as long as there's not a big girl playing flute, then we're good.
I would have loved if she was like, they never thought a big girl could play the flute.
Yeah.
She'll never play the flute.
They never thought a big girl could sing. Like, it's not the biggest like idiom in all of music. Like, it's not over till the fat lady sings. Like, that's
Oh my gosh.
The biggest thing in the entire world. But yeah, so anyway, that was the Barbie trailer. But that was cool.
Yeah, I thought they showed a little more than I would have liked. But the sets look fucking awesome. And I think this is just a movie where I get if you're not into it, it's definitely over the top and campy, or at least it appears to be. But I think if you're in on it, I think it's going to be the time of your life. Like, it just looks like it's going to be one of those movies that culturally sticks around for like decades. Like, people talk about it for a long time. It looks very original in its presentation. And then just the massive cast list.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like every 2 seconds, someone else would pop up. And then you go back and you look at even further into the cast list. I mean, like, not even shown yet is like John Cena's in this. Michael Cera's in this. Like, so many other male actors are in this that I think people are going to love it. And Ryan Gosling, we've said it since The Nice Guys came out. He's comedically so underrated. His timing and like the faces and the noises he makes are just so perfect.
So talented, dude.
Yeah, it's kind of annoying.
It pisses me off to no end. The character poster for Michael Cera was very funny.
Was it?
I don't know if you had seen it.
I've been rewatching Arrested Development, and he was such a good child actor. He was so funny.
I saw one. I forget exactly what it said, but it was like they took the Michael Cera character poster for Barbie, and they just put on the side, they photoshopped in just like, Michael Cera has embraced the law. And like, it was just like the most random thing, but it made me laugh. So the next thing, Tarantino said he's going to look to cast someone he's never worked with before as the lead for his final film, The Movie Critic. He says he's looking for somebody in the 35-year-old ballpark. I have an idea of someone I can imagine doing it really well. He also clarified that he's going to be like, yeah, it's a guy who wrote reviews in the 70s in porno mags.
Originally it was supposed to be based on a woman.
Yeah.
Right. Or at least so. That was the assumption, I guess, from people in the media.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, he's clarified. It's, the guy he was like describing, it sounds like his favorite movie critic of all time.
It was Cinema
and
Picks.
Literally was Cinema Picks. The way he found it is like such a, like a bullshit story. Like, yeah. It's like when your friend like brings up a porn star name and he's like, oh, I just know it. I don't watch that, but but he's like, yeah, I used to stock vending machines with magazines when he was like in high school, I guess. This is his story. And one of the magazines was a porno mag. And he's like, yeah, and it would always have a one page like movie review. And this, I guess the guy who wrote the reviews, he's like, yeah, he's really crass. And he wrote like a 55 year old. He was just some 30-year-old dude and like died of alcoholism in his late 30s. And he's like, yeah, but he just thinks about him all the time.
Just the cinema pig. He is the cinema pig. That's fucking crazy. But I mean, the one thing, I don't believe this would be his last movie.
Really?
I mean,
he put out another.
I know.
There's another quote in there. I think he might be done with movies, but I also think he's going to pivot to television.
That too. He has because he signed on, I feel like, for so many TV series. Some of them didn't pan out. But what was the recent one? That I think it was going to be his first one since like CSI or whatever.
It was pretty much supposed to be this.
There's a series, though, that he had signed on for. But I forget what it was. It was supposed to be like the first time he directed TV since that Law & Order or CSI.
Yeah. That is funny. Episode. He did a Law & Order episode.
Yeah. I mean, I'm always down for more Tarantino. I actually booted up and then I put on the Hateful Eight extended edition the other day. And I was like, I just don't have time for this. So I watched Tombstone instead. Man, Tombstone is so good.
There we go.
Fucking love Tombstone. I mean, I love Hateful Eight too, but Tombstone is just like one of those things where like every new character that gets introduced is a somebody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like, hey, here's a side character like Michael Rooker. And like, in like, you'll go to the next guy, it's like Billy Zane. And then the next guy is just like another guy who became someone even more bigger later. And that's outside of the main cast, which is all great. Like, Jesus, man, they're so good.
I'm reading through some of the – so I posted this on Instagram, this news. Mm-hmm. I'm reading through some of the names that people are throwing out. Want me to read them out?
Yeah, absolutely.
Chris Pine is getting thrown out a few times.
Chris Pine's like 45.
He is old, but apparently Tarantino has always said he wanted to work with him, which is weird because I don't think I've ever seen that quote, but a few people have thrown that out. So I'm guessing it's true because the internet would never lie to me. Jesse Plemons, I threw that out too.
I could see that.
I think Plemons would be a good fit if you want like an alcoholic guy who writes for a porno mag, movie reviews for a porno mag. Another thing about Tarantino, I think he likes people who can do like maybe not full on country accents, but rural like working man accents. Like a lot of his movies and a lot of the male characters will feature that.
What if it was Jake G?
Has he worked with Jake G?
Not that I can remember ever.
No, he hasn't. No.
And Jake G's like in that age range. Ooh. He's what? He probably is closing in on 40, I would imagine. He's 42. Never mind. Same age as Pine.
A little old, but he's 30, mid-30s passing for sure. Yes,
absolutely.
Miles Teller thrown out there.
Dave Franco is that old? I had no idea. Harrison Ford. No. Wait. I look for actors born in the 80s. One of the the third option is Harrison Ford.
Well, I guess he's like big actor.
Yeah, but like everyone else is an actor actually born in the 80s.
Look at through some of these. Robert Pattinson. I don't think that this doesn't sound like a role for Robert Pattinson.
I don't think that fits.
No, it really doesn't.
But Jake G though, I mean
Adam Driver.
Yeah. I feel like when I'm thinking about you're talking about the whole accent thing, I'm thinking of him in Black Klansman. Like that fits. Like that good dialogue delivery. Same with Marriage Story.
Or even Logan Lucky. Even though it's like almost too over the top for
he sucks that. Up his arm. Man, I got to rewatch that.
Dude, it's so good. It really is so good.
Maybe he meant Alan Ritchson. I guess it's the tallest actor I could find. It's not bad.
These are some good. People actually threw out some good suggestions here. Nothing too stupid.
Nicholas Braun. Why is he up on the top of the list?
I will say this will be like the high. Like I bet every dude in his 30s is going to be reaching out. Like every A-lister is going to want this role.
Kieran Culkin would be a good Tarantino actor.
He would be a really good one.
I don't know if you ever saw Fargo season 2, but him in Fargo season 2 was so good.
Never watched any of the Fargo seasons.
Dude, Fargo is amazing.
I know. I've always heard that. I want to watch the Plemons Kirsten Dunst season when they fell in love with each other on set.
That's season 2. Season 1 is so awesome too because Billy Bob Thornton is incredible in it.
Yeah.
There's also a really good side part from Key and Peele.
Wait, what?
Key and Peele play like FBI agents in it.
Oh, really?
Like kind of like a buddy cop routine. They're super funny. And then season 2 is like they go from like modern day to the 70s, like in like related characters.
Okay.
And that I'm trying to remember the actors in that. That had our good boy from Burn Notice, the guy who played Michael Weston, whose name escapes me, Jeremy something, I forget. But a couple other Patrick Wilson. One of the main cop in it. Third season's really good, I thought. Better than the second season. And then fourth season is a little gets
That's
janky.
The Chris Rock season, right?
Yeah, the Chris Rock one. Like, I don't think he was... That could have been a better season if it wasn't Chris Rock, because he's just not an intimidating figure to me at all.
No, I think he's also kind of given... Feels like he may be giving up on like the whole acting thing.
Yeah.
Maybe not the like acting serious thing, acting. But like, yeah. I think he tried to, for a second there, go serious and...
He's not very good at
it. I do love Chris Rock, though. Head of State, one of my favorite comedies growing up. So stupid, but so funny.
So one of the funniest things is that he's in that movie, I Think I Love My Wife.
Oh, yeah.
Where he cheats on his wife with Carrie Russell, or no, not Carrie Russell, Carrie Washington. And then in real life, he cheated on his wife with Kerry Washington while they were filming or something like that. James Cameron said that he is starting a new Terminator movie, but he's waiting to see how AI develops in the real world before he's continuing the script. I'm always down for James Cameron saying, like, I'm going to wait until this technology catches up, because clearly, like, it works. Like, it does to a degree. Like, it when he gets to the level of, like...
He's saying he wants the AI technology to catch up for the movie, like, the sake of, like, the... producing the movie?
He wants to make it. He has an idea, but he wants to see how AI develops before solidifying it.
Okay, yeah. That's how I took it.
Yeah, so like he wants to see how AI works in the real world, which it's a good idea to see how, get a better like sense of it. Because like I feel like he made what became the benchmark for AI in movies and television and everything with Terminator. Like Skynet is like the OG with all that. Like AI is going to obliterate the world as far as like mainstream big sci-fi movies. So like for him to be like, I'm going to dive back into Terminator, which has gone to shit since T2. Shit. Absolute garbage since T2. And be like, I'm just going to make another one. Obviously no Arnie in this one. Arnold said he's done with the character as well. Would be amazing. And I'd be very curious to see how he kind of plays with it.
Yeah, that's really smart that he's going to wait to like figure out honestly, I'm not sure. I would love more Terminator, but I don't know if now's the right time.
Exactly.
It's like, it's almost like the pandemic movies that came out like right after COVID. Yeah. It's like, we're just so in the thick of the AI shit right now. I don't really want to see a movie about it. Like it's just
overinflated market.
Yeah. It's just too much. I have to hear about it. And it's the same thing with like the new, I can't get excited for this new Black Mirror. Cause you know, they're going to do so much AI. Oh, technology bad. Exactly. Technology bad. Did you guys know? No shit.
We should have talked to Lupulter of Bandersnatch.
Who would you cast as the next? We talked about it last week. Alan Richardson would be maybe. Maybe. But John Cena.
He's too old now. If we're going to get someone like in the same way that Alan Richardson, or rather that Schwarzenegger like kind of played the role for that long, like Alan Richardson right now, the hugest man alive.
Dude, I'm still shocked at how big he was. Like I'm still thinking about it. That scene in the town square or wherever it was in Rio, like he was bigger than The Rock. Like, you know how fucking big that is?
Massive. He was like so egregious too. You had mentioned his fake tan, like the JDL special.
Dude, he was
him and Jeff got the same guy.
Dude, him and Jeff got the same exact tan guy. That man was burnt to a crisp.
Dude, he was like almost another, he was like Ariana Grande, like almost another ethnicity.
Dude, he would have gotten lost in a fucking Tennessee end zone.
Dude, that was bad. It was so orange. But he was huge, which also plays well in the Reacher series as well.
Did you see that was supposed to be Keanu Reeves too?
Yeah, like, I heard about that. What a
dichotomy.
I heard he said he's like, yeah, tough act to follow. Like, yeah, no shit.
Yeah.
Totally also, different character.
Yeah, like you have to write a completely different character.
Yeah.
It's not even close. I don't even understand how they'd be the same person.
Still love the fucking scene where they do the zoom out on those bank heists and he just walks in and he's like,
I was here.
Yeah.
Me and my best friend.
Yeah, me and my best friend, Alan Richardson.
We just met. Also, let's talk about that. They had just met each other.
Yeah. And now they were like brothers for life.
Oh my God.
And they helped somehow that guy go from being not involved with anything at all to the head of the CIA in the fucking Cerebro room.
I know I gave the movie a 45, but the more I get away from it and I think about it, I've been thinking about that movie so much.
So good.
Like, it's so stupid. It's still not a good movie, but it's like, I think it's a very elite TNT. I think it'll get a lot of play because I could just see myself sitting down. I want to just catch this scene real quick.
All right, we're back. Just had a great moment, and I feel like if you've watched enough of our stuff where we record in this room, we are constantly bitching about how shitty it is, and how, whether it's the chairs, whether it's just the fucking equipment or whatever, like we're always bitching about it. And we just had another great moment where our video card just stopped recording 20 minutes in, so we just finished up about an hour and a half of a good pod. That was a good ep.
It was honestly... For all the haters on the subreddit, this was an elite pod.
Yeah.
But the Lights, Camera, Barstool network has been hacked by constituents unknown. I don't know. We've been hacked. I think that's exactly what happened.
Fucking unbelievable.
We were just talking about James Cameron. I was actually giving James Cameron his praise, but someone has attacked us. Yeah. I don't know who, but I will find you. Because I'm running on 3 hours of sleep, and this is not the day to fuck with me.
So we lost just about an hour plus of pod. So that was great. We only had one more news item, plus we did our draft. Instead of doing our entire I Think You Should Leave draft again, we'll go through what we picked.
We also pulled out our dongs. Are we going
to
do that again?
Missed it. No, it's too late. That'll be lost to history forever. Okay, so the only piece of news item we hadn't hit yet was the Idol, the new Sam Levinson series.
It's getting so jarring for someone. Just stops in the middle of the conversation.
I'm sorry, guys. Don't blame us. Direct your complaints at one person and one person only.
Listen, well, I'll hop on TikTok Live tomorrow. I'll give you some additional content if I have time.
We'll go on TikTok Live from All Business Pete's house.
That's what we'll do. In his closet. That's what we'll do. The I Think You Should Leave draft was really, for being honest, it was a ton of fun. We were cracking up through the whole thing. But it was one of those moments where
we were just quoting a lot.
Were quoting a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But it was very fun. And we're going to still put up the graphic.
Yeah.
And let you guys decide who had the better draft.
Yeah. The last piece of news item we had was The Idol getting obliterated. The Idol is the new series from Sam Levinson. If you're not familiar with it, it's coming out on HBO, I think, June 3rd. Levinson was the producer of the series. They filmed 90% of it. Then the director, Amy Leitz, I think, she left due to creative differences. And Sam Levinson redid the entire series, cost them tens of millions of dollars at HBO. And they aired the first two episodes at Cannes. And they just got destroyed. Everyone destroyed them. They had an article in Rolling Stone a while back about the production. And they were like, this is weird torture porn shit. And like, it's uncomfortable. It's weird. It's not edgy. And then like the reviews are basically confirming that. THR said, it makes you wonder why, if in trying so hard to be transgressive, the show ultimately becomes regressive.
What a bar.
Great bar. Rolling Stone said, it's tempting to say that everything you heard about is true, but that might be soft selling. How skin crawling the experience of watching this satire ? On the seven circles of showbiz hell is. The double dose felt nasty, brutish, much longer than it actually is, and way worse than you anticipated. And Daily Beast said, there was a satirical industry framework to begin with, which might have been proven effective at revealing the sleazy underbelly of entertainment. But Levinson, and you know this, tries to have his cake and eat it too by simultaneously subverting and being the dirt that he calls out. Basically, Sam Levinson trying too hard to be... Shut the fuck up, dude.
Technology, dude, what is going on? What is going on? Did we just... I'm not sure where we left off, but I'm pretty sure we were talking about James Cameron's Terminator.
And now all of
now I think it... I actually... I'm on to this...
We were so complimentary.
No, but we did say AI bad. We did say AI bad, yeah. And now I'm beginning to think the ChatGPT. ChatGPT.
Anyway, Sam Levinson apparently trying way too hard to be sexually edgy, which is he's done in Euphoria to a degree. But like Euphoria has the backbone of a good story and good actors to tell it, and this apparently just kind of has nothing but that edginess, which is very disappointing, but also I guess not crazy surprising.
No, it is. As a long time, Sam Levinson might be a creep guy. I'm ready to dance on this man's grave. I really am. For someone to put out something so vulgar that even the French people themselves are disgusted by it, it really says something. It really does. Even the Daily Beast is going after it.
The French. Going nuts. Again, you had mentioned it earlier, the people that applaud Roman Polanski for like taking a shit on stage, like these people applaud anything that's like an edgy sort of art or bleeding edge art, and they think this is like shit, then you really fucked up. You've truly fucked up.
Some of the stuff they're saying that's in this series is just
torture porn.
It's just gross.
It reminds you of the worst things that we...
This is a man who's seen page 72 of Pornhub.
Yeah. It reminds me of like what we hated the most of what was the Marilyn Monroe movie?
Blonde.
The worst parts of Blonde. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so the movie.
Yeah, it reminds me a lot of that just based on the early reviews. But again, we'll see it for ourselves. I mean, we're going to watch it anyway.
Are we going to watch it? This is going to be this is kind of annoying because, yeah. I mean, Sam Levinson, he even brought it up in they do these little interviews at Cannes, and someone had asked him, like, do you think you went too far with this series? And he's like, oh, yeah, my wife said the same thing. Mm-hmm. He's like, but that's when I knew that I had the hit of the summer. It's like, God.
Because my wife, who I hate, didn't like it.
God damn. I mean, for something to be like this preemptively shit on, and mm-hmm. like the reviews being this bad, I should be thrilled for this series. We have Lily Rose Depp running around wearing nothing as a pop star. We got apparently a Rachel Sennett sex scene.
Yep.
We got The Weeknd, who I enjoy his music. I should be excited for this. I really should. HBO. I can't believe it's HBO and not like HBO Max produced.
It's Max.
It's I'm not getting into that right now.
It's going to be like the first series to come out on Max, is it not? Like the first new series.
Oh, no, it really is. So,
is there rated TV show of their entirety of Max's history?
We have all these things working in favor of it. And for it to just be, I'll give it a watch. But I mean, it sounds fucking awful.
Shout out Zaslav. The maybe the largest woke to ever exist in the world of television. Everything he does is done, it feels almost purposely to upset people. Like, nobody likes anything he's ever tried to do. He's like, what did he say? He tried to lump in under Max all writers, directors, producers under the same thing as creators.
I did see
whatever.
That.
Everything he does just pisses people off. And he obviously got booed. He got the shit booed out of him at the commencement for Boston College or whatever. They're just chanting, pay your writers at his ass. It's fucking funny.
It was a little lib. Those little lib college students.
Yeah, dude. Willing to like
eating his ass.
Make a ruckus at their own commencement. Okay. We did a full I Think You Should Leave season one and season two draft. We both have good teams. So we could just run through, I think, and just call it the stuff we really like. I'll go through all your team first. You got first overall the focus group.
Yeah, yeah. The little Italian man.
Yeah.
I love that little Italian man.
What's his name? Something Rubosa. We were just forget. Ruben Rubosa.
Ruben.
Rabasa. Ruben Rabasa.
Hey, Ruben. Want to go scuba diving? That's an Along like Came.
Nigerian? What was that?
No. It's an Along Came Polly. Remember?
Oh, you're trying to do French Alan or Hank Azaria.
Yes. When he fucks.
Jennifer Aniston. Or not Jennifer Aniston. Who was his?
Deborah Messing.
Deborah Messing. That's right.
Yes. Hey, Ruben.
I forgot about that. Along Came Polly is a good movie, though.
Along Came Polly rules.
Philip Seymour Hoffman in that. Very funny.
White chocolate.
Yeah. Oh, and the scene with the fucking belly on.
But we're not talking Along Came Polly. We're talking I Think You Should Leave. And that skit fucking kills me.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking kills me. Yeah. What else did I have?
Baby of the Year next.
Baby of the Year.
The In Memoriam segment still.
Yeah. I immediately, once I realized that we only had the first 20 minutes of this episode, I referenced this skit and that I want to kill myself on live television right now.
After all of this.
Yes.
This today's been an interesting day for the both of us because he was up till what 2 a.m.
Yeah, I finished up the bracket because I was doing another dozen stuff before that, so I didn't get to the edit until about 10, 11.
Then I give him a call at 4 a.m.
I gotta fix something on the bracket,
fix something on the episode that I was watching or listening to.
Very weirdly, I told you I was having a nightmare that the bracket boys were trying to kill me. I rarely have nightmares, by the way. And this, it was shocking. It was one of those things where you wake up and you wonder if you're still dreaming, because I was like, Kinjak's calling me. Oh my God, he must be here to fucking kill me.
He woke up to like four texts from a panicked me plus a call from something we needed to fix. But then after that, or anyway, Baby of the Year.
Baby of the Year.
In Memoriam segment, hilarious. The Brooks Brothers hot dog skit.
Yeah, I mean,
the guy wearing the hot
dog. Just like a hot dog.
You know, Pornhub, RedTube, all these names. The Channel Surfing Trio, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the Turbo Team, followed by the Laser Spine Surgery, which honestly, the more I talked about it, the more I think it's moved. That particular one, just with Connor O'Malley breaking the entire skit, fucking kills me. The more I think of it. It's right in your Q zone.
Right in your Q zone. Palm tree guys look like palm tree girls or whatever.
Yeah.
The Corn Cop TV, which is very funny. That's underappreciated almost.
Yeah, I mean, Corn Cop TV, it's classic. Instant classic, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't got no souls.
Yeah. They told that to me at a dinner. Honk If You're Horny with Connor O'Malley again.
Yes.
Very funny one. And then him singing the made-up song. Which we both thought was Katy Perry.
We both thought that was a Katy Perry song.
Not Katy Perry, made up song.
Yep.
The country song with the bones, the skeletons come to life.
Billy Walsh.
Very funny. The Bob Odenkirk doubles and triples bit.
Yes.
As we had a theory that the lights had turned off right when we had stopped recording last time, so maybe we just lost it again, but we'll find
out. Even if the lights aren't fucking up this recording,
We have it on
this audition. Is still an issue.
Yeah, it's regardless of the actual bit.
The lights are just coming on and off like...
this fucking room, dude. This fucking room. It's going to drive me insane. After Bob Odenkirk, you had Professor Uribe was your last one. Professor Uribe, also a very funny one.
Yes.
Give me that.
Give me that.
I'm going to tell everyone that Dylan housed my burger. He, that actor died, I think. last year
when he just fucking we didn't bring the it up grum, when groaning. He just when he just groaning at
growls
the
at him. That was very funny. That was your team. My team, I had Carl Havoc off the top. So fucking funny still.
I don't even want to be around anymore.
The courtroom hat scene with the rolling off his shoulder like Fred Astaire.
So
quit fucking with them. The driver's ed skit, which I could rewatch that right now and I'd still laugh. It's so good. Man, my tables. She does tables. What does that mean? Freddy Krueger fucked up my tables. I mean, we had a whole diatribe about loving Patty Harrison. She is so funny. She did this movie,
the one where she's pregnant?
Together.
Yeah.
With Sudeikis, not Sudeikis, fucking Ed Helms. It's really good. Well, not really. It was solid. I liked the direction they took with it. The gift receipt from season one. With Steven Yuen, so fucking funny. The I used to be a piece of shit skit, which involves the sloppy steaks. Dan Flashes, which is probably like, I don't want to say it's the most memed one, but I feel like it was the one most talked about in after season two came out. Johnny Carson can hit.
Johnny Carson can hit. And he can hit. Stars. He can hit.
And the Magician skit with Cecily
Strong.
Cecily Strong. Took your little boy dick and jerked you off until nothing came out because you're a boy. That's my girlfriend's favorite sketch in the entire show. I'm just
remembering
now. Yeah, her favorite skit. She like quotes that line all the time.
Oh, she does?
Which is weird. Weird.
When does she quote? Yeah, when does she quote
that exact line all the time?
Your little boy dick.
And then the haunted house scene. They were come blasting out of the walls.
You make any friends, honey?
Not really. Oh, it's so good.
But anyway, so like, yeah, there was no point in doing the draft over again because we just could not recreate us running through the quotes and everything we talked about.
What happens when you lock 18 coworkers in an office for 1 week to compete for $250,000 of cash? This is Surviving Barstool Season 5, presented by Rumble Premium. Each episode released 3 hours early, so get it ad-free before anyone else, only when you join Rumble Premium. Surviving Barstool premieres Sunday, August 9th at 5 p.m. on Rumble Premium and everywhere else at 8 p.m.
So, yeah, I mean, the new season's coming out. We're excited. We'll talk about it next week, too, when it comes out. It's coming out Tuesday, I think, Tuesday or Wednesday. But now we're just going to have to figure out something else to talk about. I think we should just talk about what we're watching.
Yeah. And just to recap the teams, Gooch had the focus group, Baby of the Year. Brooks Brothers Hot Dog, Channel Surfing, Corn Cop TV, Honk If You're Horny, The Country Song, Bob Odenkirk, Professor Uribe. I had Carl Havoc, Courtroom Hat, Driver's Ed, Gift Receipt, Used to Be a Piece of Shit, Dan Flashes, Johnny Carson Can Hit, The Magician, and The Haunted House. What we've been watching.
Yeah, you've been watching. You said you were watching Mythic Quest, right?
Yeah, I'm not caught up completely yet, but I did really like it so far. It's very quick.
Are you still on season one, season two?
I'm in the middle of season two, I think.
Okay.
Like a few, like probably 4 or 5 episodes past the COVID remote episode.
I will say season one, I think, was the best, but the other two are just on par.
Yeah.
The first season, like episode 3, the Nazi episode, is one of the funniest.
Oh, that was really good. Yeah.
Dinner party.
Yeah.
When she keeps trying to get the dinner party and the fucking Nazis. What if we embrace the Nazis? And they attack them. Narratively.
And then they attack them. It's so funny.
Oh my gosh. The goal would be zero Nazis.
Zero
Nazis. Is our target number of Nazis. Mythic Quest is great, by the way.
It's very funny.
Everybody from Always Sunny, they've all had their own. Actually, Charlie Day, I guess, has not had his own show yet.
Dude, that movie apparently garbage. I haven't watched it yet.
But. Dennis Glenn Howard had his own show, AP Bio. Really good, got canceled. I thought it was honestly
Blackberry.
Great. The Mick with Caitlin Olsen. I don't know if you heard
that was really funny. I never watched it.
Very funny. Also got canceled. I don't know why. They're just, I guess, not really fitting into the network mold. Those are both network TV. And then Mythic Quest on Apple TV, which.
That's a better platform, I think, for It's Always Sunny type of humor.
I know people probably think I'm getting paid by Apple TV at this point, but they truly...
They figured it out. They had a rough start.
They had a rough start, but I think they're the only new streamer that realized that they cannot compete with Netflix. I think so many of these streamers are like, yeah, I'm going to go after Netflix. It's like, dude, you have no fucking shot. No shot. And so what they've done is they're like, well, I'm just going to go after HBO, which is a fraction of the size of a user base and much easier to compete with. So all their stuff is very quality.
It's like, got a very interesting text from Joe Ballins. It was as simple as this. Why the fuck was Jerry Maguire such a big movie?
What does he mean?
Just like, why was it so popular?
It's Tom Cruise.
It is like
Tom Cruise in the 90s in a big rom-com.
Yeah, but it wasn't like it was, I like Jerry Maguire a lot, but
it's one of those things where it's like,
it probably shouldn't have been as big as
it's like a romantic movie. So it's a rom-com sports movie.
Yeah.
So it really hits a lot of demos right there. Cause you can, it's like the perfect excuse for if you're a girl trying to get your guy to go to see a rom-com with you, you can do that. If you're a dude, you're like, all right, fine. I'll go watch it.
And I sent him right before that a Cars meme. It's nice to finally be back in Radiator Springs.
I want you.
Mater.
I want you. Larry the Cable Guy.
What else am I watching? Most of the stuff I'm watching is on the watch list, but like Shameless, I've been really loving. It's like the perfect fit for like dirtbag.
Very funny that you're watching that at the same time as my parents.
Yeah, just great show. Shameless, I've been loving. Been redoing JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, which I still like a ton. And I think anyone could watch that to a degree. What else? I did Pearl Harbor, and I found that like, I don't know if you'd ever seen like the old school, like people be like, yeah, if you watch Breaking Bad without the Skyler scenes, it's like way better. It's like, oh, that's dumb. And then like I think about it more and I'm like, oh, it probably is better. Like just sticking with the Walter scenes. And like that's the same thing I did with Pearl Harbor, is I just didn't watch any of the scenes with Kate Beckinsale and the love triangle. And it became like a decent 1 hour long war movie, which is cool. Like it, like the war scenes are what make that movie good, and everything else drags it into the fucking dirt of a 3 hour long movie.
I have never seen Pearl Harbor.
Like
never. I never even missing that much. I'll be honest, not a big war movie guy to begin with. Mm. So kind of like, I don't really have any motivation to get to it, especially with just like so many good things I haven't seen that it's hard to like be like, all right, yeah, I'm going to watch 3 hour long Pearl Harbor today.
I used to watch it and then play Medal of Honor Rising Sun with my younger brothers. Which, so that's my nostalgic.
They still make Medal of Honor games?
They made two that were modern day, like Warfighter and something. They're both like okay, but like, I don't think they stopped.
Call of Duty really just kind of put them in their grave.
Yeah, exactly. It's a damn shame because those early front Medal of Honor games were awesome.
Yeah, I remember.
But yeah, that was a fun one. There's also, that's a movie also has a lot of cast members I forgot were in it. Like Michael Shannon has like a bit role in it.
Love Michael Shannon.
Actually, wait, here, I'll go back to it. Cause it was, I was shocked by how many people were in it that I didn't recognize at the time. Like Jennifer Gardner, I think has a, like a minor role in it. Movie.
She just shows up and she talks about Chase reward points or Discovery.
Literally. So it's Affleck, Hartnett, and Beckinsale, the big three. Tom Sizemore, Jennifer Gardner, William, Ewan Bremmer, who's like, I feel like the Scottish guy in every, he was in Black Hawk Down right around then and a couple other movies, Michael Shannon, Dan Aykroyd, which I completely forgot about, Kim Coates, who's like a Sons of Anarchy guy, a couple other things too, Tony Curran, that dude is in fucking everything, William Fichtner was in it.
The Fick Dog.
Dude, we can't get away from
the star of Hypnotic. You are in a furnace right now.
Cuba Gooding Jr., I remember. John Voight, I did not remember, played President Roosevelt. Alec Baldwin, Kari Hiroyuki Togawa, the guy from like Mortal Kombat and all those movies. Mako, who voices so many great things. He plays the bad guy in Samurai Jack, and also he was the voice of Uncle Iroh in Avatar.
Great voice.
Yeah. Peter Firth, who's, actually, I don't know who that is. But yeah, there's a lot of people in this I didn't realize were in it. And the scenes, the war scenes themselves are good. Everything else is bad. Real bad. They do Doolittle's Raid too, which is that actually looks pretty good too. Yeah, that was more or less it, other than actual big movies.
Have you tried Silo yet?
No, not yet. I've heard nothing but good things.
Yeah, you got to get on it. I'll be honest, this is, it's really hitting a point where it's like four episodes in a row, all four I've really fucking liked. One of them I really loved. It's, if you like Lost, you're gonna enjoy it. If you like a very niche CW reference, if you like The 100,
Remember that?
I didn't like the 100.
You didn't like the 100? The first season of the 100 fucking bangs. Are you insane?
I used that as an example because I remember we had talked about, like, do you have any friends who, like, once they recommend something, you know it's bad? Like, my one friend who is that guy, like, he recommended the
100. I'm not going to say it's the best show ever, but I think that first season.
I swear to Christ, everything this dude and Matt, you know who you are. Every time he recommends a show, he's like, this is really good. You guys would all like it. We try it and it's terrible. And
is it at least, like, timely? Like, you know what I mean? Like, is it a new show he's recommending? Or is he, like, picking out shows? Like, is he recommending CW shows that ended three years ago?
Oh, he loves CW. He's a big CW guy.
Sounds like a friend of me.
I wonder if I could just find what he had talked about before. Because I swear to you, they are all some, like, movies where, like, you look at them and be like, how the fuck did he recommend this? Or shows, anyway. He's a big Harry Potter head, too.
Okay. So, been watching that. I would highly recommend getting on that. Ted Lasso. Ted Lasso had a good episode this week. Dare I say great. It was still too long. 70 minutes is just too long for an episode of Ted Lasso. Mm-hmm. But the show itself focused on this guy named Ted Lasso, and it worked. You won't believe it. It worked. Really great stuff. Hit the, you know, the typical emotional beats. It was actually funny, too. So I'm hoping there's one more episode left of this goddamn show. Hoping they wrap it up nicely. What else have I been watching?
I saw the first, like, four episodes of Ted Lasso. And because, like, my girlfriend loves the show. And I was like, fuck it. I'll just watch the first few. It doesn't make good. Like, most of it's, like, fine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It doesn't have the same juice.
Yeah. No, not at all.
Trillet actually brought up a good point to me. And he goes, this is, like, the third fucking troll reference in a row. But he had been, like, the show is very funny in that they want to bit you to think that the wife is a huge bitch, but they can't say it because the show's too light spirited, and they need Ted to basically take it because he's the good guy. But like, it's just fucking.
That might be a little self insert there by old Jason.
Literally, yes. He wants everyone to think like he's the good guy. But yeah, that was the first first. I think I did four or five. I was like, it's fine.
It just stops. Let me be clear. There are still very good parts of the season of Ted Lasso, but it's the fact that these episodes will stop randomly for these weird ass PSAs, completely throwing a wrench in the episode. Like, gives me the heebie jeebies. Been watching that. Watch a new anime. Been watching a new anime.
Which one?
Heavenly Delusion. Honestly, one of the wildest
anime name.
One of the wildest animes I've ever watched. Like, it's so wild that I'd have a tough time recommending it to just, like, your average anime watcher. Mm-hmm. It's a deep cut. It's, like, post-apocalyptic dude trying to, like, he's trying to go to heaven. Not a real place. There's, like, these man-eaters. Like, there are these monsters.
Gotta have a demon or a ghoul.
That may have been used to have been kids. He's traveling with his bodyguard. He's, like, 17. And it's, like, this 20-year-old girl. Episode 2, this isn't a big spoiler. It's revealed that the 20-year-old girl is actually her little brother trapped inside her body. And the little brother had, like, weird sister love feelings for his sister. So now he's in her body. Yeah, it's fucking wild.
They love that shit.
Yeah, it's Japan, man. I've seen what they do.
Let's see.
You're not innocent. You try to act all cute and fun with your little cartoons. You're not fooling anybody.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've been watching those. I'm going to watch Platonic tonight. Excited for that, which is the new Seth Rogen, Rose Byrne series, teaming back up from Neighbors. What else have I been watching? What are we looking up?
I'm trying to figure out some of the bullshit he's recommended.
Your friend.
Let's see. Did any of you watch Paradise PD on Netflix?
No way.
Great example.
No
way. Perfect example.
What the fuck is Paradise PD?
It's an animated comedy series. I remember I watched the first episode of it and it was no good. Let's see. The next one. Did any of you watch the entirety of Peaky Blinders? Okay. You're on something there, Matt. Okay. Did any of you watch Jersey Shore? Like, this is always This is always the question. Always the fucking question is, did any of you see this? Did any of you watch Jersey Shore when it was on? This was in 2018, he said. And then he goes, I feel like if any of you, Mike,
did watch
one Italian friend.
Maybe the biggest show of the year it came out.
Did any of you watch Better Call Saul? Did it? And then the
Is anybody in here seen The Sopranos?
Dude, and then the next thing after that is me being like, in 2015, being like, did any of you watch Making of a Murderer yet? Which feels like a fucking ancient at this point. But yeah, that's a great example.
Dude, what is the series?
Dude, you never seen Paradise? You know,
I've never seen this in my whole life. Let me tell you, I hate the animation style just looking
at
it.
Yeah. Let's see.
Hate that animation style.
Anything else? It's always either him recommending something stupid.
By the way, I've been watching a lot of Archer. I'm on season. Rocks. Just got to season 4. Yeah. Vice. God damn, is it funny. It's not the same creators as Arrested. And I've been rewatching Arrested Development too. It's not the same creators, but they use a lot of the same joke structure and like callbacks and like running gags. Like they do a lot of that same shit, of course, with Jessica Walter kind of helming the show too. I don't know. I'm really liking it. I've heard that after season 5, it falls off a cliff, but so far.
It definitely, they go to like, they have to kind of like rebrand it a little and then it gets odd. But other than that, it's pretty solid.
Because the first fucking few seasons are so good. Business is called ISIS?
Yeah, that part was rough. Fantastic Four. What the fuck is he ever talking about in these? He's like the worst recommender of shit ever.
Please tell me you recommended 2012's Fantastic Four.
Did you ever? I love this. That did you ever watch Better Call Saul? Any of you heard of this? You guys, you about this? You heard about this? Are you guys caught up on Fear the Walking Dead? None of us had Fear the Walking Dead. nobody in our group chat.
Walking Dead fans didn't watch Fear the Walking Dead. Fuck, Walking Dead fans didn't watch Walking Dead past like season 5. They all gave up.
Dude, these are so fucking funny. Every single one of them is like I'm not gonna shit on Fear the Walking Dead. I never watched it, but like they're all so funny.
Speaking of CW, Arrowverse. Over. Yeah,
finally over. Not saying that it is kind of like that. It's like it's a great show.
The Flash has not been a great show since season 2. Mm. That is the trademark of the CW is 2 good seasons, maybe. Usually one, and then nothing after that. They just go away from everything that was working. It's hilarious.
The only thing I'll ever take away from the CW shows is Gorilla Grodd.
I know you're gonna say Gorilla
going
Grodd.
After Obama. The funniest thing ever. And like, I'm sure it makes sense in the actual realm of Gorilla Grodd or whatever, but like, it's just the funniest fucking thing to ever see, just completely out of context. Just President Obama, it'll almost be an honor to kill you.
It's right on par with the comic strip of the Turtles, the Ninja Turtles and Bruce Wayne and
Cowabummer, dude. Is that real? No way that's real, right?
I'm pretty sure that's real.
Jesus Christ.
I'm like 90% sure. Maybe 85.
I assumed it had to be fake because it's too funny for that to be a real thing or too openly like not supposed to be funny. All right. Let's call that the end of the episode.
Yeah. Sorry about that. I mean, like, honestly, we can honestly say it's not a situation where we forgot to hit record.
Yep. Hardware problem. Not on us this time.
Not on us.
Lights are still flickering.
Lights are going funky. We were talking about AI. Shit went to the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Figure out a way to make it up to you all. Starting with our review of The Little Black Mermaid.
Yes. Little Mermaid review will be coming next week. We talked about this a little bit, but like the only thing I think we've really seen is Hailey Bailey is amazing. Everything else is kind of sucks, which is whatever.
Awkwafina raps a Lin-Manuel Miranda song, which I may have to use that section of the movie as my pee break because
my name is Flounder and I'm here to say the next Little Mermaid should be gay. All right, that's it. All right, we'll see you guys on Tuesday.
What a way to end.
Have a good week at the box office, folks.
Stella Blue Coffee's new canned lattes are here. Crafted with 100% Colombian coffee, each can is a good source of protein and comes in two smooth flavors, espresso cafe mocha and espresso sweet cream. And whether you're braving your morning commute or chasing your pup, Stella Blue cans are for those always on the go and for those who care. Stella Blue is more than just great coffee. It's about giving back. I named the brand after my rescue dog, Stella, who inspired our mission to help more dogs find their forever homes. Every purchase supports animal rescue organizations. So when you drink Stella Blue, you're not just fueling your day, you're saving a dog's life. Try the new cans today. Taste the difference and make a difference. All new Stella Blue coffee canned lattes now available at StellaBlueCoffee.com or subscribe on Amazon for 10% off.